Praise God. Well, you ready? We got something. Before we start the message, though, I want to, Lord's been placing this on my heart, 30 reasons why it is God's will for everybody to be healed of everything all the time. Why is that important? Because faith begins where the will of God is known. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So number one is God's word is medicine. If you take enough of the word for long enough, it will heal you. It will make your spirit strong, and a strong spirit shall sustain a man in his infirmity. Original creation reveals the absolute perfect will of God. There was no sickness there until iniquity came in. Original creation. So heaven and earth are as one, Jesus said. Pray, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And the origin of sickness, we said last week. I want to clarify something with this too. Because this one is like it, the number six, is I said, Jesus relegates all sickness to the devil, and that's true. He is the author of sickness. Now, it may not be to your particular sin, your particular whatever, but sin is here, sickness is here as a result of sin. You got to see that. And we live in a fallen world, and sometimes it's the backlash of a fallen world that just falls on you. But God's made provision. You can come to him and say, Lord, I know that you paid for this. I receive your payment. Amen. And I thank you that by your stripes I was healed.
Amen.
There's a reason for that whipping post. So number six is sickness is of the devil. You got to understand this. Sickness, I've had people call and say, you know what? I don't feel well today. I shouldn't come to church. No, this is where you need to be.
Amen.
This is a Holy Ghost hospital here. That's what the church is a Holy Ghost hospital. You know, this is not the place. Kenneth Hagin, Aretha, his wife came to him and said, you know, Ken Jr. isn't feeling well. I'm going to keep him home. He says, you don't do that. You don't keep him away. You get him to church. Because that's where he needs to be. Otherwise, we're setting an example that we need to stay away from church if we're sick. That's what the world tried to put on us and during COVID. Oh, don't go to church. Don't sing. You got to be 6 feet away from it. Now, 5 feet, 11 inches, it's going to jump right on you. The thing was mismanaged, folks. It was an absolute lie. That was the devil wants to get control. He'll use stuff like that to do it. And if he can silence the church, oh boy, he'll do it. Amen. So the origin of sickness is of the devil. It says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Healing is good. Sickness is bad.
Amen.
Healing comes from God. Health comes from God. Sickness and disease come from, don't even say it, it comes from iniquity. Just put it mildly, he is a rebel. He rebelled against God. And that's what sickness is, like cancer. It's a rebellion against your body. Amen. Enough said. So number one, God's word is medicine. Number two, a strong spirit will sustain man. Number three, original creation. Number four, heaven and earth. Oh. Number five, the origin of sickness. And number six, sickness is of the devil. We don't have to put up with that. Amen. So today, we're talking about the power of hope. And we're talking about it in context of the process of manifestation. Hope has a big part in that. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13 says, now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. What does that mean? Now abide faith, hope, and love. Well, it simply means that faith, hope, and love are the attributes, they are eternal. They are eternal in nature. That means they have no beginning, no end. They're eternal. The faith of God is eternal. The hope of God is an eternal hope. And the love of God, that's who he is. He's love. And he's saying that all these are different, but they all work together. It says in Galatians 5:6, it says that neither circumcision or uncircumcision. People do a lot to be accepted with God. But all that avails nothing but faith that works through love. Faith works by love. Amen? And faith works by hope. Turn to Hebrews 11. While you're turning there, let's go to our weekly confession. Let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. The word of God is life. Oh, it's power. It's blessing. It's everything that he is. He is the word. The word was God. Amen? So, last week, by way of review, before we get into Hebrews 11, in Philemon 6, it says that the communication of your faith may become effectual or effective. How?
Acknowledging every good thing
that is in you. Good, Dwight. And you, Barbara. Let's say that together. That the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ. Or you can put it this way. Because you're in Christ, many good things have been deposited or breathed into you or born in you when you were born again. Because you're in Christ, these things exist in you. They abide in you. The love of God abides in you. It's been poured out in you. The faith of God, God has given every man the measure of faith. Romans 12:3. And he is the God of all hope. He is the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. These things are in you. Praise God. You know, the word of acknowledge right here is kind of one of these words that we kind of gloss over. And we miss the whole thing when we do that, when we gloss over these. It means this. It's a Greek word, epignosko. And it means to know upon some mark. That's kind of cool, isn't it? To know upon some mark. That would mean that you would recognize something. It has a distinctive mark. You know, you can't counterfeit the love of God. You can't counterfeit real hope, genuine hope. You can't counterfeit. You can recognize when it's real and when it's put on. So it's to recognize some distinctive mark or characteristic. It also means to become fully acquainted with. That refers to a relationship or fellowship with these things so that you enter into a full acquaintance with these things, their properties, how they work, their operation, what their uses and purposes are in our life. So the implication here is recognition and awareness of and full discernment of the good things that are in us. That's what makes our faith effective. The word acknowledge is pretty big. So it would behoove us to develop a relationship with these good things that are in us. We mentioned some of those things last week was Zoe, the life of God, the Zoe life of God. Jesus called it eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life, shall not perish. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, those are already in us. You don't have to pray for patience. You don't have to pray for faith. Lord, give me faith. No. He's already given you the measure of faith. It's in you. Lord, do you pray, Lord, give me more gentleness? No, that's up to you. You use what you got. You don't need a lot. You just use what you got. The treasure in our earthen vessels, the ability to call light to shine out of darkness, to call healing to shine out of sickness, to call strength to come out of weakness. Whatever your situation is, you call a situation at work, call light into that to shine out of it. You have a treasure in your earthen vessel. Develop a relationship. Be fully acquainted with that treasure. Blessings of God. You have the kingdom of God and all its resources. Jesus said this in Luke 17:21. He said, the kingdom of God is within you. And where the kingdom is, his blessing is. His promises are. His benefits are. They are in you. How about this? The gift of righteousness, right standing with God. You know, one thing that the reason Paul used this breastplate is because it's the one thing a Roman soldier never took off. He slept in it. He never took it off. Once you have been made righteous, you have right standing with God. It may not feel like it. You may have done things wrong. The devil may be loading you down with guilt, saying, you know what, you really? You're righteous? Yes. Because righteousness doesn't depend on your behavior. It depends on your faith in the blood of Jesus. It's an eternal thing. When you believed in the Lord, it says that the Holy Spirit sealed you. You're vacuum packed power. You know, you ever get one of those vacuum sealed jars and you go, and it pops? Man, every time you open your mouth, the power of God should pop right out of you. And the pressure is released from you. And it hits the devil square in the right in the nose. Praise God. So you have righteousness. You have the gift of Christ. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have the mind of Christ in your spirit, man. You have the mind of Christ. That means you can think anointed thoughts. You can displace thoughts of inability with his ability. Thoughts of weakness with his, not just strength, his strength. That you have the mind of Christ. When people are coming against you, saying things about you, you know, they stoned Jesus. They picked up stones and they were going to throw stones at him. He just walked right through the midst of them. You know you have that ability in you? This has happened to other people. Jesus walked on the water, so did Peter. That ought to tell you something. If Peter could walk on the water, it's not because of his good behavior, believe me. It was because he had faith in Jesus, and whatever he saw Jesus do, he said, I can do that too. How about you guys? This is where we need to live, is if Jesus did it, I can do it. Why? Because I'm a joint heir with Christ. As he is, so am I in this world. Amen? And here's another one. Mind of Christ. You have the spirit of faith. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I have believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, therefore we speak. Yes. Amen. One amen, a nod, and a smile. Come on, guys. You need to get in this with me. Let me ask you this. How much faith would it take you to have every need in your life met? Good answer, good answer, good answer. Let me say this. The biggest miracle that you have ever had in your life or ever will have in your life has already happened. It's called the new birth. How much faith did that take? That little bit of faith that you had to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him as your Savior, and that alone moved you from Satan's family to God's family. It delivered you from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. That moved you into eternal relationship with God, eternal fellowship with God. And every miracle that you have will receive or whatever is temporary. Whether it's healing, deliverance from demons, or whether it's being raised from the dead, that's all temporary because it lasts from now until you die. But when you got saved, that is eternal. This is why the angels rejoice so much over your salvation, because it's an eternal thing. They don't get excited about your healing. They know it's a fact. Healing isn't even a promise. It's a fact of redemption that is established, and you agree with it, boom, it's here. Oh, here it is. That anointing just came in. So why would you need more faith for any lesser miracle than your salvation? Think about that for 5 minutes. Think about that for 1 minute. Why would you need any more faith? No, you see, what we need to do is liberate and release the faith that we already have. Put it to work for us. That was three amens, I think, we got there. Come on! Come on! You need to liberate your faith. You need to turn it loose. You know, when I say turn it loose, I mean when you go to the grocery store and you buy a loaf of bread, you release the money. It's yours. That loaf of bread is yours. It no longer belongs to that store. You say, well, I'm still in the store. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. The ownership has been transferred through a price that was paid, and Jesus paid that price when he took those stripes. Amen. Release your faith in that, because this is a reality. It's not dreamland. This is reality. I mean, how do you read the Word of God? You know, you listen to the news and you believe it. If you listen to it long enough, you know what? Here it is. Because your spirit is like the soil. Soil is designed to reproduce anything that's put into it. You keep on listening to that news long enough and you're going to develop fears, apprehensions. It'll silence you. You won't be able to talk to people like you talked to them about the Lord in the past because you'd be too afraid to. I'm going to offend them. Maybe they would even arrest me. Well, let them go ahead. You know what? You still have the Constitution of the United States that gives you freedom of speech. Whether they like it or not, they don't have a choice. In a court of law, it's on your side. Unless the judge is bought and paid for. But even then, we got story in here about that little widow who came to him, who had nothing, who was nothing, had no social standing, and she got him to act like a judge anyhow. We can do that by our continual confession of faith. I don't know about you, but here it is. Why would you need more faith for a lesser miracle than a new birth? Do you need more faith? No, you don't. And let me say something. While we're on the mustard seed here, Charles Capps was a farmer. He studied seed. He studied, and it kept on bothering him. What is this about the mustard seed? What is this about a mustard seed? Is faith small and gets big? How does it work? You know what he found out? This is through a lot of research. The mustard seed is the only seed that we know of that cannot be cross-pollinated with something else. It cannot be engrafted with some. My father was a horticulturalist too. That was his hobby, and he rhododendrons. He grafted one with another and created a whole new variety of rhododendrons, in a beautiful, beautiful. And he had names for each one of them that he developed. But a mustard seed cannot be cross-pollinated with any other seed. It has to remain pure. It's not the size of your faith. It's the focus, the direction. It's what you hear with your ears, what you see with your eyes, what you continually look upon, you will handle. It'll manifest in your life. That was a good thing. These are the things in your life, Zoe, and these things that are working, you need to become fully acquainted with so that your faith is effective, so that your faith remains pure, so that your faith has power to it, so that your words are backed with you know, and that top of the jar. You got stuff in you that is very, very good, and you need to get acquainted with it, fully acquainted with it, so you know how they work, their properties. And so last week we talked about 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and our hands have handled, the word of what? Life. 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 That which we have heard. I'm going to say this again and again and again and again and again. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. So we say it again and again and again. Right. And if we don't get it the first time, we will get it. If we keep saying it. If we keep saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it, and saying it, we'll get it. Because it's the declaration of our faith. That which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes and we looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. In the very next sentence, the very next verse, verse 2, says this. What does it say, John? For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested. When you see a word repeated in the same verse twice, he's trying to get something to you. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, what? Declare we unto you that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy. Oh. That your joy may be full. That your joy. Maybe God's house is a house of joy. God's house is a house of praise. God's house is a house of rejoicing. God's house is a house of expectation of all of the good things of God. But you need to have that fellowship on the inside of you with those good things, that full acquaintance with those good things, so that it makes your faith has backing and direction. You know, you can take a bullet and you can knock it with a rock. It's not going to do much. It'll go off, but the moment you take that bullet and put it into a chamber of a rifle, now it has backing and direction. That's what you need to do with your faith. And that's what happens with your faith when you acknowledge those good things that are in you. See, the devil doesn't want you to know, oh, who do you think you are that you have those kind of things? Well, I don't think I am anything that the Word of God doesn't say. And he says, as he is. So am I in this world. I don't know if you can read this, Mr. Devil, or not, but if you can't, I'll read it to you. As he is, 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. Amen. What you look upon, what you study and meditate on and focus on, What captures you by the renewing of your mind, transforming us by the manifestation of truth. This is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, we didn't come to you with all kinds of, you know, oration, words of, you know, mighty speeches, but no, by the manifestation of truth. That's what we need to have happen. The Christian life is not trying to get something you don't have. You know, you didn't get saved and stuck. No, you got saved and empowered, liberated, and empowered with these good things that are in you so that your faith works good. Amen? I know you guys are going to get this pretty soon. Hear it and hear it. And hear it. Your spirit was already made to reproduce the good seed of God. It was also created to reproduce anything you put into it. So be careful what you put into your spirit. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little mouth. It may be little, but it produces big stuff. I like Benita's editorial singing. Oh, praise God. Now turn to Hebrews 11. In verse 1, Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now that's verse 3. We got to go back to 1. Verse 1. Okay, while we're getting there. Okay. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That first word, now. Faith is a now thing. Faith is an ever-present thing. Faith operates in the now. Faith takes your hope, which looks ahead, and brings it into the now. It gives substance to the things you hope for. So how does faith do that? How does faith? You need hope. Now, here's something really cool. I got to cut through a lot of things, so bear with me here. If you do a study on imagination in the Old Testament, you'll come up with several different words. One of them is yetzer. Other words have to do with our presumption or assumptions and things and things that, but yetzer has to do with our imagination. Anything they could imagine, they could do in Genesis 11. Imagine. And every time you see it in the Old Testament, except for one time, it's always used in a negative context. Imagination. Even in the New Testament, the word imagination is used in a negative context. But your imagination is so powerful. You know, you can't go into a restaurant and read the menu without, you actually start salivating if you're hungry. You're reading that menu, steak and baked potatoes, or that juicy hamburger for lunch. You know, whatever it is, you see that, and your imagination. So you need an imagination to get back to your car. Where did I park my car? You know, how much time do we spend wasting on those little twist ties on the bread that you can't find after you take it off? And you, where did that go? Oh, dear. I speak from experience.
Yes.
But you need your imagination. How do you see your kids? Your imagination can be negative or positive. But you see what happens is, if you do a research on hope and imagination in the New Testament, you'll see that they have the same definition. And imagination is used to describe the unregenerate, unborn again person. And hope is used where the born again person. Same definition, different context, and all of a sudden it's in a positive light. Hope. 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 Seth is getting married to Hope. And that'll become faith pretty soon. Oh, praise God. Hope is a powerful thing. Hope is what opens up your mind to possibilities. It gives you vision. It gives you stuff that you need. The only positive place imagination is used in the Old Covenant was 1 Chronicles 29:18, where David had reigned for 40 years. He's leaving the throne. He's putting his son on the throne. And he's praying this prayer about imagination that the people would not lose their generosity in giving. It's the only place it's used in a positive light. But hope is necessary. Without hope, your faith has nothing to work with. Faith works with hope. Faith works through love. They are necessary. They're different, but they're necessary. Hope, you know, Charles Capps wrote a book called The Thermostat of Hope. And in that, he drew this little picture of this guy. He tells this story about this guy. He lived out in the backwoods somewhere. Very seldom came to town, but one morning he came to town, everybody's gone, and he hears singing, and they're all in church. So he goes to the church and sits down, and not very long after he sat down, that the heat in the place started to rise, and he saw one of the ushers go up and turn a thermostat on the wall, and all of a sudden cool air came. He said, "What did you do?" He said, "I turned the thermostat down." He said, "How do you do?" So he showed him what he did. He says, "Can anybody have one of those?" He said, "Yeah, they sell them at the hardware store." So he went to the hardware store and bought a thermostat, put it up on his wall, and did something. Nothing happened. What he didn't know, it had to be connected to a source. But what you and I have, we have that connection with the source of a deep, powerful faith. See that? Don't let the devil regulate your thermostat. Don't let the news media regulate your thermostat. Don't let other people and negativity adjust your thermostat. No, you turn that thermostat where you want it, and that's where your faith will meet you. This is what hope does. It will call upon faith, and faith will take that hope and empower it and make you what you want it to be. What is that, what you want it to be? What your imagination says. Your imagination was given to you by God to produce pictures in there of what you desire, to make it plain. It's not some, but the enemy has relegated it to something that is make-believe or fantasy or something. He knows how powerful your imagination is, because your imagination is where hope lives. And if he can, he knows how, that's why he doesn't destroy it. What he does is he subverts it and redirects it to your flesh, to try to get you to please your flesh, to satisfy your flesh. And that's an empty, empty life. Because when it's all said and done, when you had the chance to do eternal things, you took advantage of the flesh. And it says, from the flesh comes death. It's not eternal, in other words. Imagination is powerful. Amen. Boy, I'd like to go into a lot of this stuff right here, but you guys got some extra few minutes here? Okay, good, because we started really late. Galatians 2:20 says this, that every born-again believer has inside of him the faith of the Son of God. Now, some of the newer translations say, have faith in. I am crucified, nevertheless I live, yet Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That phrase is used elsewhere in the Bible. He's talking about Jesus, the very faith that Jesus operated in this world, is the faith that lives in you. And he accessed all kinds of things through that faith, didn't he? Yes. He did. The faith, when he spoke in this, and the storms and wind, the winds, he spoke to the wind, he spoke to the tree. Whatever he spoke came to pass. This is what we need to line up, those good things in us. The faith of God is a good thing that's in us. The life of God is a good thing that's in us. The all of the good things that are in you, you become fully aware of, full and relate to, so that your faith has the power when you need it. Amen. Thermostats activate the source. So when you, do you know you need an imagination when you look at your kids? How, and you start imagining how they're going to turn out. You start imagining that conversation that you're going to have with a person tomorrow. You imagine all the, these are images, these are imaginations where you see yourself doing. What the imagination does and what hope does, it is allows you to see with your heart the things you can't see with your eyes, and faith is the one that brings it to pass. Amen? You get that? You see that? Do you see how powerful your imagination is? And how, why the devil tries to divert it into weakness, relegate it to fantasy, or relegate it to something that is worthless, childish? You know, your kid had a vivid imagination. Well, that's good. Let's cultivate that. Don't subvert it and say, no, that's childish. No, take that and develop it. Say, you know what? And show them Bible stories like Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Show them stories of David and Goliath. David needed that imagination when he faced Goliath. And he already had developed it first with the lion and the bear. So 5 smooth stones out of the brook. You know why he chose 5? Because Goliath had 4 brothers. They were next. All you need is one good rock to take the devil out of play. And that key ring, you have the keys of the kingdom. Just shake it. Let him hear those keys jingle together. Say, I'm going to ruin your whole thing here. You better get. But just in case you don't know, here, I'll unlock it. Boom! I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I have what he says I have. I am seated where he says I'm seated. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am strong in the Lord and the power. I have the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate. I have the sword. I have the belt. I have the shoes. He has no defense for it. The only place that armor doesn't cover you is in the back. So you never retreat. Otherwise, you get a fiery dart where you don't want it. Okay. What we're going to do here is allow the Lord to fill your imagination as you read the Bible. I mean, you watch the news and your imagination, you watch a movie, your imagination, you watch it. Well, let's do the same thing when we read the Word of God. And let the Word of God be that pen of a ready writer to write his image, his imagination into your heart and see what he imagines about you, what he wants you to be, all he has designed you to accomplish in this life. Amen. 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 Father, thanks for your word. Thank you, Lord, that it will not return void. It will accomplish what we want. It'll accomplish what you sent it to do, which is our desire. To see ourselves as you see us, empowered, strengthened with all might by your spirit and our inner man. Father, we just ask, Father, that these things, that the Holy Spirit remind us of these things as we go through our week. And the words that Dwight said too, I mean, remind us how good and how faithful you are right there at the turn every single moment. We give you praise, Father. And we ask your blessing to be made manifest in our life in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. If you need prayer for anything else, please come up.